Good evening, everyone. As always, it is a blessing, and I rejoice to be able to join you all here tonight, to be together, to study the Word of our God, and to worship our God in spirit and in truth, with great joy and with great respect for our Father. We thank our visitors, our guests who are joining us tonight. It is always encouraging to have you amongst us. Know that you are our honored and esteemed guests. And we pray that you will stay a few minutes afterward to fellowship together and to continue to strengthen the bonds of our friendship. Please open your Bibles to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 11. We'll be reading from verse 25 to the end of the chapter. Matthew chapter 11, verses 25 to the end of the chapter. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in your sight. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son and the one to whom the Son wills to reveal him. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Will you please bow with me in prayer? Our Heavenly Father and our beloved God, we praise and glorify thy name for thy mercy, for thy love, and for thy Son. Father, we thank you because it is because of these blessings that we have through his blood that we, Father, have gathered together to sing praises to thee, to remember that precious sacrifice, to speak to thee through the avenue of prayer, and to be blessed to give a small portion of the many great blessings thou have poured upon us back to you. And in the same manner, Father, now we sit at thy feet to listen to thy word spoken through the lips of this thy servant. Father, allow me to speak in accordance to thy will. And allow me, Father, to use these words, Father, to apply into my own living first. That, Father, my life and my conduct may always preach louder than my words. And that, Father, the light of all of our lamps may always shine brightly together to guide the world and to guide the lost, Father, back to thy feet. Forgive us, Father, when we have sinned against us. Forgive us when we, Father, have not been a family as we are to be in thy name. And Father, that these bonds that join us together, that tonight we may learn and understand them so that we can value the glorious, precious blessing that it is to be a part of thy church. Forgive us once more, Lord, for we pray this in the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. We have begun this quarter, this final quarter of 2023, what our eldership has entitled, Our Relationship in Christ. Truthfully, the full title is A Study of One Another, Our Relationship in Christ. But we, or rather I, have been given allowed the liberty to separate the two, where in our Bible studies during Sunday mornings, we'll see the study of one another. But during our sermon hour, both morning and evening, we will approach this, if you will, in a sort of word study. And where we will see our relationship in Christ, we will see words that are associated to this very thing. As you understood this morning, the premise and the concept of this subject is for us to understand the unity between us, the fellowship between us, and many other ways of what you and I should understand of what our relationship with each other should be. This morning, we examine the word family. We examine that we are not like a family, but that we are a family. And that it is through the Word of God that we came to understand that as 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, we become a new creature. That is to say, a new creation in God. Because in the baptism and through the obedience which brought us all together and made us a family, we simultaneously married Christ, we were born of the Spirit, and we were adopted by the Father. We were able to see how we are a family because in literal terms, you can either be family through marriage, through birth, or through adoption. But in God, it was beautiful to read this morning how He secured all three ways. so that there would be no shadow of a doubt that we are His children, that He is our Father, and thus we are brethren one with another. But as we now see tonight's word, we take the word bonds, and we think about this in many different ways. For example, you perhaps know the word bonds in terms of the law. You think about a bail bond. And you think about how when you are to go to court, you have to pay a bond that secures that you're going to show up on your court date. And many times you do so, you post bond or you post bail so that you won't be sitting in a jail cell waiting for that court date to come. But that is not the definition that you and I are going to take. But rather observe how we take that word in reference to what Jesus is saying here. And observe the bond, how Christ begins to describe it way back in verse 25. You know, brethren, reading the context is going to be key in every Bible study and every lesson that we do. Because many times we, like the world, like to take, as they call, the popular passages, and we choose them based on our emotions and our feelings. Many times we remember them because we like what they say. We like how they make us feel. And this, without a doubt, verse 30 specifically, is one of those that you see many times on portraits, you see drawings, and they're pasted all over the world. But how sad that they do not understand the meaning of what our Lord was saying. Just as we established this morning that the pronoun us and the pronoun our is both inclusive and exclusive, meaning that it is inclusive to those who are indeed part of the family of heaven, but it excludes everyone else who has not accepted God's hand in marriage, or has not been born of the Spirit, or has not been adopted by the Father. Therefore, the same is true when we read here, which is why we began at the context beginning at verse 25. Notice that Jesus' words about His yoke. Notice that His offer of rest and how His request, or rather His condition of us taking our yoke, or rather taking His yoke upon us, is not for everybody yet again. We begin there at verse 25 and observe that Jesus once more thanks the Father. In 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3 this morning, we saw the heavy influence of the Father. We were able to see that it was the Father who bestowed on us the right to be called children of God. Well, once again, here we see that it is the Father, Lord of heaven and earth, as the Lord Jesus Christ says, that He chose to hide these things from the wise and prudent and have revealed them to babes. Children, the simple, as Scripture says. But Jesus expands on His meaning of this. But observe how Jesus begins to pinpoint that the bond that we share among one another is that, as the Apostle Paul would tell the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning there at verse 21 and forward, that we are not all wise according to the world. That we are not all strong according to the world. But rather that God chose the simple things of the world. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7, we are told that we are earthen vessels. Earthen vessels that hold the precious glory of God in the form of His gospel. These are the bonds, brethren, that we share. Our relationship in Christ is about the bonds that tie us. It is about the bonds, or the bonding agent, that brings us together. As many of you know, before I came here, I used to work in glass. And when my friend and I, who worked together many times, when we were given orders of making glass trophies, there were these trophies that required a bottom of a glass bottom with this base also part of glass. It wasn't as simple as simply putting glue on there from Elmer's and it would stick on there. Because glass actually requires a certain process in order for it to bond and never be removed easily. What it required was, first and foremost, a special agent, and they say a special type of glue that is exclusive only to the polymer of glass. It is a type of agent that can adhere itself to the glass, because, as we know, glass needs a special type of bonding agent. But then on top of that, it required UV light. You could not just take LED light or any kind of light because that heat was not sufficient for it. But rather it required that special black light that many times throws off that purple glow that we see. That UV light that specializes in it, that gives the precise amount of heat that makes that glue trigger its bonding agent and makes the two pieces of glass to stick together so that they will now be one trophy and not just two separate pieces of glass. Jesus, brethren, uses a similar mentality. Have you ever read this passage thinking about Jesus as a carpenter? You see, it's interesting because we know that the Lord was a carpenter, and we see how he is taking something from his profession and he is using it to explain the relationship that should exist between us, himself, and our God. Observe first and foremost that Jesus speaks to using a yoke. You see, in those days, brethren, carpenters would specialize mainly on farmer tools. They did not use tables and chairs as we use today. You have to understand that those were many times reserved for those who were rich or those who were of royal lineage. But the majority of society who was poor was accustomed to sitting on the floor and eating one another, laying upon pillows, or as we see John the Beloved, lay upon the breast of the Master. Therefore, a carpenter during the first century was very likely most exclusively always working with farming tools. Yokes were made out of wood during those days. And thus, a carpenter who was renowned and would be very busy was one who knew how to make a yoke that would not be strenuous on the animals that would be plowing. It required a specific science of that yoke being the exact amount of weight so that it wouldn't be too burdensome upon the neck of the animal. But not only that, it also required it to be smoothed out exactly so that it would not put any kind of styes in the animal's back. So he would not be uncomfortable in always moving it around. And he needed to make sure that as he carved it and as he smoothed it out, that it would fit right as it needed to be. Where it would not choke the animal, or where it wouldn't be too loose, where it would hurt him because it would always fall off. It required a lot of precision. It required a lot of skill and diligence in making sure that that yoke was made properly. Jesus begins by saying, "Take my yoke upon you." A yoke required two animals in the field to work together. And thus they were bonded, like the glass, they were bonded or they were joined together by this farming tool that had to make them work as one. As Christians, our relationship in Christ is of bonds. We have to bond together. We have to find the agent, the bonding agent, that triggers that reaction, that brings us together as one, that makes us work together so that we can be able to plow the field of the Lord with furrows fit of the kingdom. And notice that it requires the yoke of our Master that we have to take upon each other. Take my yoke upon you. Thus we are bonded, brethren, through the blood of Christ. We are bonded through the example of Christ, and we are bonded because it is Christ's leadership that we are following. If you will, please go with me to Revelation. The book of Revelation, chapter 7. The book of Revelation, chapter 7. And observe, brethren, how the yoke of the Master is demonstrated here to each and every one of us. Beginning there at verse 9, Revelation chapter 7, beginning at verse 9. After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could number, of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes, with palm branches in their hands, and crying out with a loud voice, saying, "Salvation belongs to our God, who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb." All the angels stood around the throne and the elders and the four living creatures and fell on their faces before the throne and worshiped God, saying, Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom, thanksgiving and honor and power and might be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Then one of the elders answered, saying to me, Who are these arrayed in white robes, and where did they come from? And I said to him, Sir, you know. So he said to me, These are the ones who come out of the great tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve Him day and night and in His temple. And He who sits on the throne will dwell among them. That's a bond, brethren. Notice that it begins at verse 9, speaking about that the number of all nations, tribes, peoples, and tongues speaking before the throne and before the Lamb, with white robes and branches in their hands, it was a great multitude. It was a vast array of differences of culture, of differences of speech, and differences of backgrounds. But they all bonded over the same experience. They were all joined together because they all washed their robes in the blood of the Lamb. And in this case, as we read, it is referring to the martyrs of the first century. It is referring to those who did not value their lives for the gospel's sake. They all shared the same bond that they gave glory to the Lamb and to God above man himself. We go a few chapters later to chapter 12. Observe there, beginning once again at verse 9. The Bible says, And a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, If anyone worships the beast and his image, and receives his mark on his forehead or on his hand, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascends forever and ever. And they have no rest day or night who worship the beast and his image and whoever receives the mark of his name. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are those who keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Then I heard from heaven saying to me, Write, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on. Yes, is the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them. I apologize, I said chapter 12, I meant chapter 14. But observe the bond there. The bond of the Lamb is shown in His blood. It is a commandment that has been given by God. We bond together because we reject the mark of the beast. We reject worshiping anyone but God. And we are willing to die for this cause. We bond with one another because we stand united through and with the blood of Christ. We carry the yoke of our Lord upon us. And it is that yoke that brings us together and helps us make furrows fit for the kingdom. Christ, as a carpenter, spoke about His yoke. He spoke about it being the bond that brings us together. And He made it personal. Take my yoke upon your shoulders. Let my blood be the thing that joins you together. Let it be my commandment that I give to you that makes you work together. Our relationship in Christ. You see that? But we see, brethren, that the will of the Father is very present in this. Jesus did not come to give us His will, but rather He came to show us the will of the Father. The will of the Father that was the agent for all of this from even before the foundation of the world. For it is true that in Eden, God always determined to be in fellowship with His creation. God always sought to be in bond with His creation. But it was man who broke this bond through sin. If you will, go with me now to Matthew chapter 12. We've seen how the blood of the Lamb bonds us together. Observe now how it is that the will of the Father also is a bond that brings us together. Matthew chapter 12, beginning at verse 46. While he was still talking to the multitudes, behold, his mother and brothers stood outside, seeking to speak with him. Then one said to him, "Look, your mother and your brothers are standing outside, seeking to speak with you." But he answered and said to the one who told him, "Who is my mother and who are my brothers?" And he stretched out his hand toward his disciples and said, "Here are my mother and my brothers. For whoever does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother." Jesus himself says that his yoke is one that he shares with us. He doesn't simply put it on our necks, but Christ himself already carried the cross for us at Calvary. He is inviting us to work side by side with him. But his yoke is so immense and it is so vast that it doesn't just go on the neck of one Christian, but it fits all faithful Christians. You see, it is Jesus and his church working side by side. It is the husband and wife, or the husband, the groom, and the bride working as one family, as one unit. But together, they are fulfilling the will of the Father. Who are my mother and my brothers? Once more, observe, whoever does the will of my Father. Brethren, if we cannot claim that we are children of God without having fulfilled the commandments that he gives us. Once again, 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. The same is true when it comes to us who have already obeyed the gospel but remain stagnant and do not work out our own salvation. We have to work together, brethren, because it is the will of the Father that we are obeying. We have to put our opinions and our egos aside, and together we have to determine what is the will of the Father. For example, if you go with me to 1 Timothy chapter 2, there we read one way that God reveals his will to us according to what Scripture teaches. 1 Timothy chapter 2, beginning at verse 1, "Therefore I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, and for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence." Did you notice that the Bible is inclusive when it says whom we should be praying for? For all men. And then it says, yes, this includes kings and authorities, so we may live a peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. Brethren, we don't have a choice if we like the party that's in office. We don't have the choice if we like or agree with the man who is in an authority. We are commanded, and it is the will of the Father that we ought to pray for that man or that woman. And observe what we should be praying for. We should be praying that God give them wisdom. We should be praying that God soften their hearts. If their stances are immoral, we should be praying that the will of God and that His Word will make them see the error of their ways, so that they will change their stance, so that that way we can live peaceably with one another. But when I choose not to pray because I don't agree, or he is not of the color of shade of the party that I follow, I am no longer in bond with God. And I am no longer in bond with my brother or sister. And observe how political talk many times tears congregations apart. We should be bonding over the will of the Father, not over the representation that we have in Washington. We, brethren, need to pray, supplicate, intercede, and give thanks for all men. That includes my enemies. That includes those who don't like me. That includes those who take a simple mistake and make it into a great thing. We should pray for all men, but also for those who bless me, those who love me, those who comfort and guide me. I need to pray for the stumbling block just as much as for the stepping stone in my life. Regardless of whether I like it or not, simply because it is the will of the Father that bonds us together. You know, brethren, relationships are interesting. Those of you who know why I say that, you know. But certain conversations come up sometimes. And it is interesting that in one of those biblical conversations I was having, we were speaking about the fact that to love like God loves is not an easy thing. But it is amazing that the reason we love God is because He loved us first. 1 John chapter 4, verse 9 and verse 19. That the reason God loved us first was so that we can reciprocate and love Him back. But what is the attitude in our society today, and sadly even in the Lord's church? If they don't want to say hi to me, then I don't have to say hi to them. If they don't approach me and talk to me, then I don't have anything to talk to them. I'm only going to talk to those who want to talk to me. You know, Christ spent a lot of His ministry talking to people who did not want to listen to Him. He always sought to bond with them. He sat with sinners. He ate with tax collectors. He always sought to bond with them. And although not all of them, the bonding agent worked, but He always made it available. Christ was always the UV light ready to make that agent stick together. We are the light of the world, are we not? And it is Christ and His Father's will that is that bonding agent. Therefore, what do we need to do? We need to activate our light. We need to turn on that UV light that the Father has commanded us. Because it is the will of the Father that all men be saved. Brethren, our relationship in Christ is one of bonds. We have to bond together with the blood of Christ. We have to bond together through the will of the Father. But finally, we too must bond together through the Word of the Spirit. Once again, the deity is present as it was in the morning, wasn't it? Once again, we see the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit all together in this Word. Go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And as you turn there, let me briefly give you a recap of what's been going on and why Paul is inspired to say what he says. If you recall here, there were problems going on at this congregation. And it is interesting and it is amazing that the very first problem that Paul chooses to address is a problem of division. It is a problem of schism in the body. And beginning there at verse 9, observe what the Bible says. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. God is faithful by whom you were called into the fellowship of His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, once again, who called? The Father. And whom did He call us? The Son. The very same thing that makes us a family, it is the very same thing that bonds us together. But we continue. Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Well, how do we know what to speak? How do we all know what it is that we have to say? Well, right now, are we not speaking the same thing? We are all reading the same words inspired by the same God. And we are all studying them with the same purpose. Believe me, I'm not here trying to be famous because I am doing terribly at that. But I am here studying together with you, wanting to know what the will of the Father is and how to be accounted faithful by Him. Because we all want the same thing. We all want to bring glory and honor to the name of our Father in heaven. Notice how the Word of God bonds us. Observe how the Bible teaches us that when we all speak to the same thing, we will be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Well, this makes a lot of sense. When we address issues that we don't understand, and we all immediately think, what does the Bible say? We're speaking the same language. We're thinking the same thing. When we are asked about why we do certain practices in our worship, our response immediately is, what does the Bible say? The same was true with the prophets of the Old Testament. Thus saith the Lord. It is beautiful when you read the Old Testament. We just finished reading and studying the minor prophets. And amongst them, those 300 to 400 years that span over those 12 books. And all 12 of them always said, doth saith the Lord. They spoke the same thing. They spoke the same language. They had the same mind. And what was the bond that tied them all? An obedience to God. Following the will of the Father to obtain the blood that gave them access to the grace promised in the blood of the Lamb. But how did they know this? Through the revelation of the inspired word of the Holy Spirit. Brethren, our relationship in Christ is one of bonds. We bond with one another through the Word of God. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 3. One of my favorite passages. Those who study with me Tuesday nights remember this, mainly because we only studied it for a brief period of 3 months. But beginning at verse 14, notice what the Bible says. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might through His Spirit in the inner man. Now, how does that happen? That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend. Now, listen to what God is about to say. With all the saints. So that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints. Past, present, and future. We don't stop being saints, brethren. We are not required to perform miracles or to do something that man claims as miraculous to be given the level of saints. That happens the moment we go through the blood of the Lamb. And the beauty of it is, even when we die, we remain as saints if we die faithfully. There's another bond. But observe that the Bible says that we are able to comprehend with all the saints. This means that when Paul wrote this in the first century, when the Ephesians heard it and they understood it, we too, when we read it and we hear it, we understand it the same way. Because the Word of God does not change. But we keep reading. What is the width and length and depth and height? To know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. We can comprehend with all the saints the love of Christ that surpasses all knowledge. And we can comprehend with all saints how to be filled with the fullness of God. We bond over this. We bond with one another over this. We share this in common. That we all live by the same rule. That we all abide in the same house. And that we all seek to please the same God. Our relationship in Christ is one of bonds. We bond because of the blood of the Lamb. We bond because of the will of the Father. And we bond because of the Word of the Holy Spirit. Unity. All of this is about unity. We were brought together that light of the world, that is Jesus Christ, triggered the bonding agent between us and with us and the Father. But Christ didn't only bring God and man together. Christ brought man and his fellow neighbor together. You see, this entire lesson this evening revolves around the meaning of the word religion. Specifically, the etymology of the word. Our English word of religion, in Spanish, religión, comes from the Latin word religare. And those of us who speak Spanish know that when we talk about a liga, we understand it to be a rubber band. And what a rubber band does is, of course, it is elastic and it pulls. But what it's used for is when you're trying to hold things together and you want them to be tightly held. Observe how women, when they use these types of ribbon in their hair, is to hold their hair together in a type of bond. So what they must do is they must gather their hair and they must stretch this type of rubber band that they're using so that that rubber band, after it stretches, it shrinks and puts it all together and holds it tightly and neatly for them. Brethren, our sin tore our bond from God and essentially tore our bond from one another. You are naive if you think that Adam and Eve did not argue after getting kicked out of the garden. Especially when Adam blamed Eve for getting kicked out of the garden. Those husbands who are wise always tell me, just accept it and don't blame her. But observe how on that day the bond between a relationship between man and his wife, or man and man, meaning human and human, was torn. Because from that tear came the murder of Abel. Man, for the first time in our human history, rose against his fellow man. Something was broken. Something was torn. And from there on out, we see violence overtaking the world. But then Jesus Christ arrived to be our peace, putting to death the enmity that separates us. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13 and 14. Jesus came, brethren, to retie, to fix the bond where the bond tore, and to rebond so that we can once again come together and be one in Christ Jesus. That's the meaning of the word religion. That's the true God-given meaning of the word religion. Hence why James says, pure and undefiled religion is this. What is it? Tending to the widows and the orphans and abstaining from all evil. Bonding with one another. Being that rubber band that brings us tightly together to hold us in place together and with each other. The blood of Christ did that because it was the will of the Father as revealed through the inspired word of the Spirit. My friend, you are outside of this rubber band. You do not find yourself in the bond of peace. But you can come in tonight because this spiritual rubber band that is the will of the Father, the blood of the Lamb, and the word of the Spirit can stretch to let you in. We can't stretch it, but He who is in heaven, whose will it is to you to be saved, can and He will, if only you are willing and ready to accept His Son's blood through the baptism for the remission of your sins. Your sin right now is what separates you from your God. But He wants to bring you together. He wants to snap you back to His open arms through the blood of His Lamb in accordance to the word of His Spirit. If you are subject this evening to this invitation, the Spirit and the bride says come, as we stand and we sing our hymn of invitation.